Hi, welcome to the Fantastic Forecast, episode 422. I'm Dave Elliott. And are you sick of this new theme music yet? Because I sure am. Today, Fantastic Four, 422, a.k.a. Volume 2, Number 6, from April 1997. Retribution. Plot and pencils by Jim Lee. Script by Brandon Choi. Late one night in New York City, Alicia Masters is sitting by herself when the phone rings. And it's her friend, Cass, asking how her date with Ben Grimm went. I guess when your best friend is dating a rock monster, you can't wait until the next day to find out what happened. But Alicia tells her that she is still waiting. It's been 3 hours, and Ben hasn't shown up yet. Cass says maybe he's out saving the world. So they say goodbye, and Alicia is left sitting there like a pathetic loser, which she is, petting her cat and wondering where Ben is. Is he out saving the world, or did he just stand her up? You know, boy, your personal life is in the dumps when you get stood up by a rock monster. So we go to the next day at Castle Doom in Latveria. The Super Skrull has just showed up using Dr. Doom's time machine to steal the cosmic power from the Silver Surfer, and now he's saying he's going to conquer the Earth, and various little conversations are going on with the others in the room. Wyatt realizes that it was the Super Skrull that was impersonating him since issue 1. It turns out, Wyatt Wingfoot, he's not a dick after all. Johnny says to the Black Panther that he realizes it was the Silver Alien who was the object that fell from the Stellar Anomaly. Sue is looking at the Silver Surfer, saying it must have been Dr. Doom's plan to steal the alien's power for himself. And Dr. Doom says to Reed and Sue that he's still in charge of the situation. Of course, with all his new powers, the Super Skrull seems like he's in charge of the situation, and he's ready to kill everyone in the room, starting with Dr. Doom. Black Panther says they better choose the lesser of two evils and help out Dr. Doom. And Doom says he doesn't need anyone's help, even though just last issue he was demanding help from Reed Richards. Doom tries to zap the Super Skrull, but that does no good. Wyatt shouts out that they need to find some way to get the cosmic power out of the Super Skrull and back into the Silver Alien. The Skrull zaps the shit out of Dr. Doom, and Wyatt asks the Super Skrull what this is all about. And surprisingly, the Skrull decides to answer. He says it's about revenge against the Silver Surfer. The Silver Surfer is the sworn enemy of every Skrull. He is the harbinger of death of the entire universe. The accursed herald of Galactus, the destroyer of worlds, including the destroyer of the Skrull throne world. I bet Wyatt is thinking to himself, okay, maybe we shouldn't put the cosmic power back into the Silver Alien. Oh, and on this page, Jim Lee draws Galactus, and he looks like Galactus. He's not covered in straps. He doesn't look like he's on his way to an S&M party. He just looks like normal old Galactus. The Super Skrull says that he needs the Silver Surfer's powers to face off against Galactus and defeat him. One of the fake S.H.I.E.L.D. agents is a Skrull, too. He still looks like a human. And he says that the sensors have picked up an unidentified aircraft trespassing into Latverian airspace. And another guy says it must be a S.H.I.E.L.D. attack craft. The Super Skrull is able to create an impenetrable S.H.I.E.L.D. around the castle. And the S.H.I.E.L.D. ship hits the S.H.I.E.L.D. and explodes. Just then, Ben calls the Skrull a murderer and punches him in the face. The Super Skrull says that he can duplicate their powers, and he turns his left fist into an orange rocky fist and punches Ben so hard he flies across the room. Next, Johnny attacks. Odd that the Human Torch doesn't attack first for a change. But of course, his flames are useless against the Super Skrull, who also punches Johnny with a big orange fist. Black Panther tells Reed and Sue that direct confrontation is futile, and they better think of something else. They need to reverse the effects of the machine that gave the Silver Surfer's powers to the Super Skrull. Dr. Doom steps over and tells Reed to do everything he says. Next, the Black Panther attacks the Super Skrull. So much for not having a direct confrontation. And when the Skrull tries to zap the Panther with a beam of energy, Sue creates a force field tube to channel the energy toward the Silver Surfer. Reed and Doom are hard at work on the machine, and there's a lot of energy and smoke, and from out of the smoke comes the Silver Surfer, now awake. That was it. All they did was channel Hafsu, channel the power from the Super Scroll back into this Silver Surfer, and that's it. Problem solved, like, really quickly. So the Silver Surfer and the Super Scroll are fighting with each other, shooting beams of energy at one another, and in this big flash of light, the FF, Wyatt, Black Panther, and Dr. Doom run like hell away from the chaos. Doom says he has to stop the fusion reactor under the castle from breaking apart and destroying Latveria. Reed offers to help, but Doom tells him to scram and to get lost. Johnny flies away as Reed stretches out, carrying Sue, Wyatt, Ben, and the Panther away from the castle as it collapses around them. They reach their ship, and they figure that Doom must have shut down the reactor since they haven't been vaporized yet. Reed says there might be more powerful forces at work here, and then they get in the ship, and they fly away, which I find very odd. They're not going to stay and see if Dr. Doom or the Super Scroll or the Silver Surfer are still alive? And what if there's other people, innocent people, buried in the rubble who need help? Ah, screw them. The FF are getting the hell out of there. They don't have time to wait. They're in a hurry. They gotta run. They gotta fly away. They gotta get out of there. I don't know why they're in such a hurry. A few seconds later, emerging from the smoky ruins of the castle, is the Silver Surfer. He's thinking to himself that the group of humans who saved him are the first people to have shown compassion to the Silver Surfer. Of course, as the Herald of Galactus, he probably doesn't get a lot of compassion from other people. So next up, there's a backup story to the issue, Industrial Revolution by Scott Lobdell and Brett Booth. Later, as night falls, Dr. Doom has retreated to a smaller facility a few miles from the ruined castle. He starts working on something when a robot comes in and says he has something to tell him, and Doom gives him 60 seconds to tell him what it was before he causes him to self-destruct. The robot seems oddly nervous for a robot. He's like, my lord, and my liege. He's very nervous. He's a very nervous robot. Why would Dr. Doom build a robot that acts so nervous? Maybe for the same reason Darth Vader made C-3PO. It's fun to have a robot that you can intimidate. The robot says they have picked up a transmission from the United States that Doom might want to see. So he starts the transmission, and no, it's not the latest episode of Seinfeld. It's news footage from Manhattan and the destruction of Avengers Island, which had been overrun and attacked by terrorists. And on the island, gamma radiation is spewing from the wreckage. Dr. Doom decides to stop the self-destruct of his robot. He thought that was good information. The robot starts to say, and Doom says, "Cease grovel program." "Yes, sir," the robot replies. Yes, Dr. Doom has a special setting on his robot that makes him grovel. That's why he was acting so nervous. He was groveling. It reminds me of when I was a kid and my parents bought me a cheap black market tape for my Teddy Ruxpin, and he would grovel and say things like, "Please don't leave me alone in the dark," and "Please don't drop me in the toilet," and he would also say, "Please don't let the dog hunt me anymore." Well, eventually, I sold him at a yard sale to a Mexican family who filled him with candy and used him as a piñata, even though he begged me not to. So back with Dr. Doom, he's very curious about this gamma radiation in New York, and he looks at the footage of the wreckage on Avengers Island, and he zooms in, and he sees a big green hulking monster. You know, the Hulk. Instantly, he regrets wasting his time trying to suck energy off the Silver Surfer. Now, he wants to suck off the Hulk. I mean, he wants to siphon energy off the Hulk. Boy, this guy wants to suck everyone off. He's such a slut for power. Oops, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insult a fictional character. So Dr. Doom runs a computer simulation of what the Hulk would look like without all the gamma radiation, and he looks like Bruce Banner, his old college friend from State University. So Doom remembers his college days when Bruce was interested in developing a gamma radiation bomb, saying that he thinks it can benefit mankind. Even Victor Von Doom thought that was a bad idea. So next, we see the group of young geniuses, Reed, Bruce, Tony Stark, Hank Pym, and Victor Von Doom, get together and take a very awkward photograph with all together. It's a good thing Walter Lankowski wasn't a member of the Avengers or the FF, and he didn't get stuck going to stupid state university with these morons. Back in 1997, Dr. Doom thinks it's ironic that Bruce has become a prisoner in his own man-made gamma ray monster. He tells his robot that the events of this day will soon bring him into conflict with his old college friends, using the friends sarcastically. And then the issue ends with Dr. Doom laughing. And why is he laughing? Because this issue is to be continued in Avengers Volume 2, Number 6, co-written by Rob Liefeld. Dr. Doom is so evil. He's laughing at me! Hi, welcome to episode 422, part 2. Today, Avengers Volume 2, Number 6, from April 1997. A Hard Day's Night, plot by Rob Liefeld and Jeff Loeb, two names I'm never happy to see in the writing credits for a comic, script by Jeff Loeb, and art by Ian Churchill, trying his best to draw as Liefeldian as possible. So anyway, as I was told on the night I lost my virginity, let's make this quick. The story starts at the Baxter Building, and there's an intruder. I guess in the Heroes Reborn universe, they haven't installed a very good security system yet. They keep getting intruders. Not even superpowered intruders, just like normal guys wandering into the headquarters. This guy, he's quickly surrounded by Ben, Johnny, Reed, and Sue. Ben ran out of the shower to confront this intruder, and he's still covered in soap, and he's naked. Sue comes out, and she comes running in. She's wearing nothing but a bra and a thong, but she's got like a Fantastic Four symbol on her bra, on her left boob. Why, oh Lord, why is she dressed like this? And she's got a belly button ring. This woman, she was like the CEO of some big company, and she's just a big bimbo. It's all very dumb. So this guy, with his, he's got big floppy hair, big baggy 90s shorts, no shoes, a white vest, no shirt. He has the shit scared out of him by the FF. He wants to speak to Reed, and even though this guy looks much younger than Reed, Reed recognizes him as Bruce Banner, the guy he went to school with. Reed tells everyone he's an old friend from college. Bruce tells him about the carnage on Avengers Island and says there might be a full core meltdown. Already in Heroes Reborn FF, there's been two dangers of a core meltdown. On the island, from the ship that crashed on Monster Island, and then there is the core meltdown at Castle Doom, just like last issue. These Image Comics guys are obsessed with radiation meltdowns. This is like the third one already. And I think halfway through Heroes Reborn, Rob Liefeld would have his own meltdown. So back on the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier, Nick Fury and the agents are worried about the gamma radiation as well. Some S.H.I.E.L.D. choppers go looking through the wreckage of the island, and they find Hellcat. Surprise, surprise. Hellcat. Why the heck do the Image guys want to use Hellcat, of all people? But this version, she looks more like a werewolf, or a werecat, and she's got a tongue that's like 2 feet long. So at least she's got that going for her. And they find Captain America buried in the rubble, and they dig him out, and they give him an update on Hawkeye and the Swordsman, who are also injured. They're using the Swordsman and Hellcat? Where's Moondragon? We need her to complete the lame-o Avenger hat trick. Next, we see some S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in hazmat suits trying to get down there and clean up the gamma radiation, but their face masks crack open, and the three men are killed. And then Loki shows up on the bridge of the helicarrier, and Nick Fury asks who he is, and he says he's Loki, the god of mischief. And Nick Fury replies that he doesn't believe in gods. Loki replies, "That's one of the irksome things about this alternate universe. Mortals question its very reality." So for some reason, Loki is aware that this Heroes Reborn universe is only an alternate reality and not the real thing. Back on Avengers Island, the FF arrive along with Bruce Banner. I guess Bruce found these ridiculous clothes after he turned back into human from the Hulk. And why didn't Reed give him some real clothes, by the way? They come across Thor, who looks dead, so the thing starts tapping him in the face with a big orange finger, and Thor's eyes open up. Back in the sky, a SHIELD shuttle is stopped by Iron Man, the most overly rendered version of Iron Man I've ever seen. The suit is so complicated and ugly, it hurts my eyes to look at. It's pretty awful. So Iron Man tells SHIELD to stay away from the island because Tony Stark and Stark Enterprises are taking care of the mess. And since Tony Stark designed the SHIELD shuttles and the helicarrier, it might be best for them to do as he says, which is a threat that Loki admires, but Nick Fury decides he better back down and give Iron Man an hour. So Iron Man flies off, and he gets a warning that something organic is coming his way. It turns out to be a big orange rock monster. The Thing, also terribly drawn, by the way, with arms and legs the thickness of tree trunks. He's huge. No way could this version of the Thing ever fit in a taxi cab. And that's all I ever really want out of the Thing, to see him riding in and destroying taxis. That's what he's best at. And why does Iron Man run into the Thing in mid-air is also quite a mystery. Iron Man grabs Ben as Ben explains why he's up there by saying, "That's the last time I tried mouth-to-mouth resuscitation with a guy that calls himself a Thunder God." Whoa, what? Thor was okay. He woke up. His eyes opened up. He seemed fine. Why would Ben try to give Thor mouth-to-mouth? It doesn't make sense. Oh, wait. I just remembered who I'm talking about. Ben Grimm. It makes total sense. Johnny flies over and tells Ben that Iron Man and Reed and Bruce Banner are near the core. Iron Man is surprised that Bruce is alive. And back with the FF and Bruce, they're joined by Captain America and Hellcat as they race to stop the Gamma Core from melting down. Hellcat smells Bruce Banner and realizes that he caused all of this, and she's going to attack him, but Cap tells her to stand down. How the hell can she tell that Bruce Banner is the scientist who created a gamma radiation reactor by smelling him is a mystery to me. Bruce, meanwhile, is struggling to remain calm and not get angry, since, as we know, we won't like him when he gets agitated. They reach the core, and they turn around to ask Bruce for a security password. But oops, Bruce turned into the Hulk, and the Hulk isn't very good at remembering security passwords. And that is the end of the issue. To be continued in Iron Man number 6. Oh no, they're making me read another Heroes Reborn title. It's so upsetting, I'm getting agitated. Urgh, Dave Hulk mad. Hi, it's episode 422, part 3, Iron Man, volume 2, number 6, from April 1997, Industrial Revelation, story by Scott Lobdell, with art by Jim Lee, Will Portasio, and Ryan Benjamin. So the issue begins with the Hulk going crazy, saying he wants to be left alone. Sue gets smart with the Hulk, telling him that if he had wanted to be left alone, he shouldn't have rampaged all over Avengers Island. Sue's putting up a lot of energy to keep the Hulk back using her force field and rampaging all over the FF Cap and Hellcat. Reed says they have to hurry up and get past the Hulk and stop that Gamma Core from melting down. Up on the SHIELD helicarrier, Loki's getting on Nick Fury's nerves, so Nick yells at him, but since no one else can see Loki, all the SHIELD agents think Nick is losing his marbles, and they notice a bright light below. The Human Torch is absorbing heat from the Gamma Core and dispersing it out into the air. Back with the Thing, Iron Man, and Thor, they arrive and see Sue holding back the Hulk, who's just standing there. He says he's tired of fighting puny humans. Iron Man gives Reed some suggestions on how to deal with the core meltdown. Reed says he seems pretty smart for a bodyguard. Thor and the Thing decide to go into the core together, alone. I'm surprised that Thor doesn't mind being alone with Ben after that stunt he pulled last issue, going mouth to mouth on him. Ben goes in and he holds the shattered core wall together while Thor uses lightning to seal the hole shut. Eventually, the Hulk ends up in the core to help out along with Iron Man, and after being in there for a while, Thor and the Thing pass out and Iron Man has to carry them out to safety, leaving the Hulk alone to save the day. It takes a lot of convincing to get the Hulk to do this, but eventually he agrees. so the Hulk has to pick up a very heavy object, so heavy he struggles to do so. And the entire time, he's bitching about how humans get on his nerves, they hunt him down, and they piss him off. I know how he feels. So after a long struggle, the Hulk picks up this, whatever it is. It seems to be a very large, heavy door to the Gamma Corps. And when he closes it up, the gamma levels start to decrease. Reed notices that the psionic readings on the Hulk are off the scale, like there's someone else there in the core with the Hulk. And we see inside the core very quickly, the image of Onslaught appears and then disappears. Iron Man wants to go back inside and get the Hulk, but everyone else tells him not to, because they will let all the gamma radiation out. Hulk can hear them talking, and he tells Iron Man to go and leave him alone. He doesn't like humans anyway. Iron Man says he'll be back later. Cap tells everyone they have to go back to the surface before Avengers Island sinks, and back above the island, Johnny is continuing to use his powers to absorb and disperse the heat from the Gamma Corps meltdown. But his sending all this heat up into the air has created rain clouds, and it starts to rain. The rest of the heroes get up to the surface, and Cap states that this must mean the Avengers are done for. But Iron Man replies, "Says you." And that's the end of the issue. If we want to learn the fate of the Avengers, we have to read Captain America, Volume 2, Number 6. And if you don't care about the fate of the Avengers, but you just want to read a bad Rob Liefeld comic, read Captain America, Volume 2, Number 6. And if you're a podcaster with a Fantastic Four podcast, and you think this podcast is long enough already, and since the Fantastic Four don't appear in Cap Number 6, then maybe you should skip it, which I will. Coming in the next episode, what happens when Alicia comes to visit Ben Grimm in the hospital? What happens when Reed Richards decides to investigate the Negative Zone? Will the Blastar of this universe be any nicer than the Blastar of the normal Marvel universe? And what happens when the Silver Surfer tells Galactus about this lovely planet of Earth that he's discovered? And whatever happened to Matthew Storm? So if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. You can download other episodes at iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.
Some days it's a pull to drive. Some days it's a walking dream. Some days like gravity dropping. Some days it pulls you down.